The spider at the center of the 5G web is Qualcomm. A conversation with the company's president on when 5G is really coming. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. When it comes to rolling out 5G, there are a lot of moving parts. At the heart of the story sits Qualcomm. The company makes wireless chips for your phone and develops and licenses other technology in the wireless industry. And it's been pushing 5G hard, like future of the business hard. But there are aspects of the 5G rollout Qualcomm can't control, like how long it takes infrastructure to make it into every neighborhood in the country. The company is also the subject of an FTC investigation over whether it abused its monopoly position in 4G technology to charge too much for licensing. It actually settled a long-running lawsuit with Apple over the same thing last April. Cristiano Amon is the president of Qualcomm, and we spoke about all of this at CES in Las Vegas, starting with the promise of 5G.
It basically is you bring the computational power of the cloud, all of the data that exists in the cloud, to any device. And one of the things we said in the very beginning of this 5G transition, in the 5G era, AI will develop side by side with 5G. Just because you connect to the cloud, you have a lot of data, you can apply machine learning to all that data.
5G is also a technology that I think we've been waiting for, right? We've been talking about the promise for a long time, consumers being consumers, people are getting impatient. At what point do you think people are going to get frustrated or they're going to say, this is all hype and no reality?
I agree. Those things take time. For you to have all of those benefits of the technology, you have to have coverage. Infrastructure needs to be built. There is no free lunch. Unless you have coverage, you're not going to get there. We have a couple things that we're dealing with as an industry. First, if you look at in the United States, one of the number one obstacles when you talk to operators is actually ability to get new sites up. And they are working with municipalities one at a time. China, for example, have identified 1 million sites for 5G until the end of 2020.
It also sounds like 5G deployment is really important to your long-term business success. I mean, is there any world, I can just hear the open source community saying, like, listen, you could potentially make some of this available for everybody to build on to accelerate the ecosystem.
Well, that's what we do. If you are an automaker or if you are an industrial company, and let's say you're Bosch and you're making manufacturing robots and you want to add 5G, you have to build an engineering capability of a Samsung or Apple to be able to deal with this. And what Qualcomm offers is we provide you a license, we provide you a chipset, we provide you a reference design, we provide you software that you can easily add cellular to your robots, to your industrial machine, to your car. And if you don't have a model that is horizontal and creates ecosystem, you actually prevent all of those other industries to get access to cellular. They have to build a cellular or phone company to be able to do it. And that is why we think 5G, we're going to see an expansion of the licensing model, not the other direction.
Yeah. This is a little bit of a left turn, but we've been doing a lot of coverage on climate and how technology in the tech industry can help us adapt, be more resilient, maybe maintain emergency communications. How do you see Qualcomm's role in sustainability and resilience and climate conversation overall?
Look, I feel it's an interesting, I agree with you. I didn't expect that question. But the way we think about it is, first, at the very basic, we are a company that developed technology for a battery-powered device. Like, we don't have the luxury in the technology that we do to assume that we're going to be plugged to the wall. So we've probably been building a lot of efficiency. That's no secret why we've been so successful in automotive, because it's an industry like all of those other industries really trying to address how they can be more efficient, consume less fuel, consume less electricity. And I think as a general, I think that's one of the things that we contribute. The other thing is by making everything connected, there's a significant increase in productivity. Even when you think, I'm trying to provide more of a vision. But we always said that every year that goes by, you do more of your work in your phone. And I think that's going to change over time with everything connected productivity. People will be able to do more of their work at home. They won't be able to connect with other people without having to be there. And I think there's a lot of indirect benefits of basically providing a technology that allows everything to be connected.
I do, as long as we're in our awkward questions phase, want to talk about licensing. Because parts of that business model have come under scrutiny. Qualcomm's been in a long legal battle with the Federal Trade Commission over whether some of those licensing agreements have reached monopoly status. Do you plan to approach 5G licensing any differently in light of those disputes?
Look, there's not much I can tell you about the dispute. I think other than the public statements we made, we're very pleased, and I think was the right decision, for us to be granted a stay. And I think we're waiting for the appeal. But what I can tell you is we actually have a very vibrant licensed business model that actually enables competition. We're very pleased that we have many companies that sign a 5G license with Qualcomm, independent of the dispute and even post the ruling. And that validation that, we have a competitive business model and actually one that provides growth and competition in the industry.
All right, last question, because you first joined Qualcomm in 1995 when the company was just 10 years old. And you've left and come back since then, but I wonder what that journey has been like in this entire ecosystem.
It's an incredible company. Actually, I was fortunate enough to join before the first CDMA network was launched, so I'd be able to see every single transition of wireless.
1G to 5G?
1G to 2G to 3G to 4G and now 5G. So I've been through all of those. It's really fascinating to see how cellular changed the society. It's one of those few opportunities that, and I think all of our employees feel that you can work on something that you actually know that changed the society. And it's also interesting to see that we made bets that everybody in each one of those bets, no exception, told us that's not going to work or there's no need for this. And we'll be able to see as we stay with that vision, the transformation. And I don't want to go back all the way to CDMA, but I'll tell you an example. When we first talk about 4G, it was fascinating to see all of the analysts on their BlackBerries sending emails to each other saying, who needs 100 megabits per phone? Nobody needs it. I have everything I need. I have my email. I have all of the GSM is good enough for email. And where are the BlackBerries now? And now we see people saying, oh, 5G is hype. Who needs to be connected with the cloud and, multiple gigabits of speed? We'll see.
Cristiano Amon is the president of Qualcomm. We spoke at CES in Las Vegas. And now for some related links. You heard Cristiano Amon touch on the topic of Qualcomm's legal disputes. Seeking Alpha has a story up that talks about how the Trump administration wants to argue at Qualcomm's FTC appeal. The hearing is set to be on February 13th. Last fall, Bloomberg reported that the FTC is at odds with the Trump administration, which really doesn't want the U.S. to fall behind China in terms of 5G technology. Qualcomm owns more than 140,000 patents on almost all aspects of cell phone technology. Licensing that tech is how the company makes most of its profit, although most of its revenue actually comes from selling chips. Now, a U.S. district court judge previously ruled that Qualcomm licensing agreements hurt competition and ordered the company to renegotiate all its deals with phone makers. But on appeal, that order was put on hold until the FTC case is settled. Members of the FTC, including Chairman Joseph Simon, say it was very unusual for the Trump administration and the Justice Department to intervene in its antitrust investigation, and also said that the FTC is not very happy about it. But the move shows you just how worried this administration is about getting to 5G first. Remember, last year, around this time, there were rumors that Trump's national security team wanted to actually nationalize a single 5G network in the U.S.? Qualcomm's got friends in high places. You can find those links, as well as my other bigwig interviews from CES, over at marketplacetech.org. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.